Translation, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 10, Text 1. The great sage Maitreya said, "My dear Vidura, thereafter Dhruva Maharaj married the daughter of Prajapati Shishumara, whose name was Brahmi, and two sons named Kalpa and Vatsara were born of her." Purport, it appears that Dhruva Maharaj married after being installed on the throne of his father and after the departure of his father to the forest for self-realization. It is very important to note in this connection that since Maharaj Uttanapada was greatly affectionate toward his son, and since it is the duty of a father to get his sons and daughters married as quickly as possible, why did he not get his son married before he left home? The answer is that Maharaj Uttanapada was a Rajarshi, saintly king. Although he was busy in his political affairs and duties of government management, he was very anxious for self-realization. Therefore, as soon as his son Dhruva Maharaj was quite worthy to take charge of the government, he took this opportunity to leave home, just like his son, who without fear left home for self-realization, even at the age of 5 years. These are rare instances from which we can see that the importance of spiritual realization is above all other important work. Maharaj Uttanapada knew very well that to get his son Dhruva Maharaj married was not so important that it should take preference to his going away to the forest for self-realization. In the purport here, Srila Prabhupada points out that this is an instance, Maharaj Uttanapada's leaving home before getting his son married. This is an instance of Bhagavad Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma taking precedence over Sadharan Dharma or Lokik Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means actual dharma, the actual occupation of the living being, which is in relationship to Bhagavan. Therefore it's called Bhagavat Dharma, that is actual dharma. So this here takes precedence over Sadharan Dharma. Sadharan means ordinary, which can also be called Lokik Dharma. Lokik means of this world. So actually, ordinary should be Bhagavad Dharma, but because we are in this world, we take this world, the standards and this world and its standards to be ordinary. But actually, real Dharma is Bhagavad Dharma. In one sense, there's no need to call Bhagavad Dharma Bhagavad Dharma. It could be just called Dharma. But because dharma means Bhagavad Dharma. But because in this world dharma is seen or considered to be something else, therefore it's called Bhagavad Dharma to distinguish it. Just like, for instance, there is the common term Sadguru, which means a proper guru, or a good guru. But if he's not bona fide or not good, then he can't be a guru. But because there are so many bogus people in the name of gurus, therefore sometimes Sadguru is said to mean a real guru. And almost all of those who are called bogus also. So cheating is rife in this world. So actually dharma, although it's so important, it, in one sense, it's a kind of cheating. Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamayaham. Whenever there is a decline, a serious decline in dharma in this way, Krishna says, come to re-establish that kills the rascals. Or destroys them. Rascals means those who are against dharma. But what is dharma in this world? Dharma is what, it's Krishna's version of what devotees in ISKCON nowadays like to refer to as bridge preaching. That means that people are engaged in various activities to make them human beings, because human being minus dharma is not a human. Dharma hitesham adhiko vishesham dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. Dharma is the special prerogative of human life. Therefore, a human being who does not observe dharma is an animal, because ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanya maitat pashubhya naranam. Human beings and animals both eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So, if a human being only eats, sleeps, mates, and defends, and doesn't practice dharma, then he's just an animal. So dharma means following the rules and regulations given in the shastra for regulating human life. Specifically, that takes place within the varnashram system of brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, and sannyasis. So this system is often disparaged as the caste system. Disparaged? It means spoken of badly. As the caste system, the original varnashram system declines into the exploitive caste system when it's not properly regulated or properly practiced. But the original system is the best system for regulating people in this world, so that they may advance toward the platform of actual dharma, which is Bhagavat dharma. So it's a kind of cheating, or in as much as it's so much stress that it should be followed. Bhagavan himself stresses that it should be followed, but it's not in and of itself the aim. Simply to follow worldly dharma is not in and of itself the aim. Dharma, the first the first or the primary benefit of observing dharma is that one is saved from grossly sinful life, and one lives life in an organized, regulated manner. But that in and of itself is not the goal. The goal is to come to the platform of understanding our actual purpose, because whatever position one may have within varnashram dharma, one may be a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, whatever. That is a temporary role, that is not our actual role. So dharma is fulfilled when one comes to the platform of self-realization. So within the varnashram system, there is much praise that one should associate with saintly people who will give one the knowledge by which one can transcend the varnashram system. So duties within varnashram should be followed, otherwise chaos ensues. For instance, it is an important duty of the father is to see that his children are married. And the children, they don't have any choice in this matter. This was the system in India until recently. They may have, in rare cases, in the Svayamvar of the young girl of the Kshatriya family, she can select her husband. From among Kshatriya princes, she may select her husband, but that will be based on a trial of skill. Just like for Draupadi, the trial was in her Swayamvar, who can shoot the fish, which is behind a revolving wheel with spokes, and looking down, in not even directly looking at the fish, one has to fire the arrow looking at the reflection in water, so it seems almost impossible. It was made, it was set up so that only Arjuna could do it. That was the idea. So Arjuna, that's believed to be dead, but in the hope that he might still be alive, Drupada arranged this. Of course, Karna marched in, and he also claimed to be able to do it, but he was disallowed due to not being a Kshatriya. Of course, Arjuna was at that time posing as a Brahmana. Anyway, the point here is that one is the parents, they have fixed the marriage, and the children have no say in it. Who you get married to? This is it. That's it, finished. And people think, well, that's horrible. You know, you have to live with someone you don't even know, and it might not work out. But traditionally in India, the marriages did work out, certainly much better than they do at the present time, where it's based on this love, bogus. So, Maharaj Uttanapada, in most responsible position as a Kshatriya, he is supposed to protect the citizens. He's also supposed to protect Dharma. Dharma Rakshati Rakshataha. Those who protect Dharma, they are protected by Dharma. But we see here that he is breaking an important rule of Dharma. And one thing about a Kshatriya is that everything he does is seen by everybody. What he does with his wives, that may be in private, but otherwise he's a very public person. So if he just leaves home without marrying his son, then people can see, and it may look very bad. That why has he done that? He's neglected a major duty. We see that, for instance, shortly after marrying, it was only shortly after marrying, after Lord Ram married, that Dasharath, his father, thought, well, let's put him on the throne. I'll retire, Dasharath thought. Because the marriage comes before the ascent to the throne, generally, although it may be that in some cases that system is there, or was there throughout the world, that if the father dies early and the child is young, they may officially be put on the throne, but the kingdom will be administered by someone else until the boy is old enough. And often the boy at the age of 14, 15, 16, they would actually take charge, and until that time some regent would do the job, just like Dhritarashtra. He did it in the absence of Pandu, and when the Pandava princes were young. So, Uttanapada, he left home, even though his son wasn't married. He neglected this duty, which doesn't look good, it may say, but he did it for a higher purpose, which was to pursue self-realization. This should not be misunderstood. That because, as Srila Prabhupada says here, this is a rare case. It's not to be imitated. Someone on a very high platform may perform some activity for the sake of self-realization. But that should not be imitated by others. The danger is there, that someone will say, well, you see, Uttanapada, he left home without marrying his son, so I'll leave home without marrying my sons. But then if one is not able to, or if one is not as serious as Uttanapada in pursuing self-realization, if he just leaves home without marrying his sons or daughters, just because he's an irresponsible bum and he just wants to avoid the trouble, then that's not proper. Then he becomes, such a person becomes punishable by the laws of nature for doing that. Srila Prabhupada also left home with his one daughter unmarried, and she never married, which in Srila Prabhupada, as we've learned from Srila Prabhupada, this is not at all proper. But Prabhupada did so for the sake of self-realization. It's not for everyone. Ramanuja, his wife was young. He left her for the sake of taking sannyas. But see what he did after taking sannyas. So there are many examples. This Raghavendra Tirtha in South India, he's also he took sannyas. His wife was so upset. He was a young man. It means his wife was also, and she was so upset she jumped in a well and died. She committed suicide. Ramanuja delivered her ghost. Raghavendra, he was so powerful. He was able to do that. This Sridhar Swami, who made the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, his wife died. She was young. And then he had a young son, and he was thinking, well, actually, I could have taken sannyas, but I have this young son. But then he saw one baby lizard just born and immediately captured one insect to eat. So then he thought, well, God is providing for the baby lizard, so I can provide for my baby boy also, and he left and took sannyas. But that's not encouraged for everybody. If one can actually do something, except Prabhupada did that also. He got people married and then unmarried. In the beginning he was encouraging household devotees to preach as householders. After some time he wanted some sannyasis, and he gave sannyas to young men. So these are all considerations. Prabhupada said this is a rare case, Uttanapada. Personally, I'm more in favor that we establish the norm and then we make the rare cases, rather than make the rare case the norm. It's very easy to say that, well, we're doing everything for Krishna and just neglect to follow our responsibilities and our duties. In the modern world, it's thought that, well, if you're married and you don't like your spouse, then, well, you just dump them and get another one. But that's not permitted in Vedic culture, just to dump one and get another one. In Vedic culture, a man can marry again. That's not allowed in modern society. But he doesn't leave the first or second or third wives. A woman, she marries, that's it, finished. That's it for life. this should be established rather than in the name of self. We may think, well, it's better for self-realization. I just get another wife or get another husband. But it creates chaos in society, so that should not be encouraged. As you can see, I brought my laptop here. I have a few questions which have been sent to me, which I'll take the opportunity of answering. They actually fall within this category. One question is there about girls' education. Is it necessary? How far should it be? Well, it all falls in the general category of how society should be organized. At the present time, society is chaotic. Srila Prabhupada wanted to re-establish Varnashram Dharma. And many of the things he said about this, people in the modern age would consider that barbaric, wrong in all respects, unfair. But then we see that modern society, it's not really doing that well. Modern society has made so many adjustments according to the recommendations of psychologists and sociologists they've decided that, well, we know how to organize society better than previously was, but the result is not very good. The result is a big mess. So, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to re-establish Varnashram. It's a big task to do so. We may not be able to do that overnight, but we should at least know what the principle is and act on that as far as possible. So, as far as girls' education, Srila Prabhupada said that the daughters of his disciples, they do not need so much education. Actually, he didn't want even for the sons education. Definitely not the modern system. Go to school and learn how to be a demon. That he didn't want.